Well, may it please God to be with us this evening as we continue our meditation in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians and the fifth chapter. And this evening we'll read verses 10, 11 and 12. 10, 11 and 12th verses in the fifth chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. So we see here the apostle is addressing the church at Galatia, and he speaks these words which are perhaps surprising. He says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. Now, for the most part of this epistle, he's been speaking against what they had imbibed from the Jews, Judaism, who had been, of course, relying on the law of Moses, which directed them to be circumcised, and they considered that was necessary for salvation. And the apostle has been speaking very strongly and powerfully and at length with regard to the error of this. But notwithstanding that, we see that the apostle Paul, he still says he has confidence in you through the Lord. And it's important to notice that there can be sometimes, therefore, those errors which can creep in. And very easily we might cut them off, people like that, and say, well, they cannot be a believer if they go along with things like that. But very clearly here, the Apostle Paul had not cut the Galatians off. He had preached to them, he'd been with them, and he had known, of course, how they came to know the truth, and therefore they had now been, as it were, sidetracked. And the apostle was so concerned they might be brought back on track. Nevertheless, he's able to say that I have confidence in you through the Lord. Well, it's a word of instruction for us to realize that it's very easily if people perhaps deviate, and you may say, well, this was surely a great deviation. Well, it was in one sense, because they were relying upon their works rather than relying upon the grace of God. And yet, nevertheless, the apostle did not cut them off. And he says here quite clearly in these words, I have confidence in you through the Lord. So let us remember such words of instruction and therefore take heed to them. It's very easy to draw lines black and white and to cut people off. But the apostle here, notwithstanding all that he'd said, tells us this: I have confidence in you through the Lord. You see, his eyes have been up to the Lord, and the Lord had clearly shown him that there were those who were godly amongst these Galatians, even though they perhaps had turned away for the time from those things which Paul had taught them. That ye will be none otherwise minded. He doesn't want them to change, therefore, from the truth. He had confidence that they would retain the truth that God had spoken into their hearts, and therefore they would not turn aside, as it were, permanently. That ye be none otherwise minded. He had confident that this was so. And it's very true, when the grace of God has come into the hearts of his people, that's a glorious work, and it's something which man cannot do, and it brings honour and glory to God, and it will stand. If that is of the Spirit, it will stand. Sometimes people are allowed to follow that which is wrong, perhaps to bring them down in their own estimation, perhaps to lower their pride, perhaps to correct them. The Lord has many ways to teach and instruct his church. And so here we have this statement, that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgments, whosoever he be. Those you see who were bringing this wrong doctrine to the believers, the apostle speaks in this way. But he that troubleth you, and they were being troubled, shall bear his judgment, whosoever he may be. And as we think of those words, not the first time Paul has used that kind of wording, in the last couple of verses in the fifth chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, you see that the apostle was always having to remonstrate with the early Christians. And we should not think that that ceased after the early Christian church. And he says in the fifth chapter of the first epistle and verses 12 and 13, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among you, among yourselves, that wicked person." And quite clear there were those who were trying to turn the Galatians away from the truth and to rely upon the works of the flesh. "I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment." And in the early chapter, the first chapter of this epistle to the Galatians, the apostle tells us in the seventh verse, he says, "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Well, we'll come on to that in a moment. Well, the 11th verse tells us, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased." And really, he's saying, well, of course, he had preached circumcision, but he hadn't preached it with any saving knowledge. There was nothing saving in that position of being circumcised, whereas, of course, the Judean church was saying you had to be circumcised and you had to believe in Christ. And they put the two together. And so here the apostle says, "Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased." Now, the preaching of the cross always has been offensive. We should never think that, well, there will never be any problems through preaching the cross. It's the principal thing that the devil hates. He hates preaching of the cross because he knows that the preaching of the cross, as the Spirit leads, directs the believer to that sin-atoning death, directs the believer to the shed blood of the Saviour, directs the believer to salvation, which is of grace. And that's all that the devil so hates. And we read together these verses in the first chapter of the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. They're very wonderful words, and they're very good words for us to take on board and to remember. And the apostle tells us, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Naturally speaking, to man today, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Man doesn't believe there is a hereafter. Man doesn't believe he needs to be saved. Man doesn't believe the way of salvation is through the sin-atoning death of the blessed and glorious Saviour. And so here we have these words, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." And my friends, bless God tonight. if the cross to you and me is the power of God. The apostle goes on, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Again, he goes on and he comes and he says, "For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So we have some direction as to the blessedness of the cross. And here the apostle tells us, then is the offence of the cross ceased. If the cross is not preached, there's no offence. But if the cross is preached, there is offence. And he concludes by saying, "I would they were even cut off which trouble you." Well, the Lord knows indeed how to deal with those that trouble the church of God. And we have many examples in the Word of God who those who stood in the way were moved out of the way. God is able to do great things. But what a blessing it is for us tonight if we have been fed and led to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that without the death of the Saviour, indeed without the resurrection of the Saviour, without the ascension of the Saviour, without the intercession of the Saviour, there would be no hope for us today. So may we bless God for the great truth of the gospel, and may we hold them fast and not let them go, and may God be honoured and glorified in them and our souls eternally blessed. Well, may God bless his word. Amen.